Everybody getting ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. And it's like everyone has a job on Thanksgiving, something that they're responsible for as part of the greater good of Thanksgiving.
Right, right. So my job is to help my wife clean in the days that run up to it and also jump up and respond, yes, dear, whenever she gives me a look or says I need something, because she says I do nothing. So if my wife does like a big cook job, or she's like, you know, I had to clean the house so your family could come over or whatever, stuff that she would normally be doing anyways. But if I don't look busy enough to her, it becomes a problem.
Well, because you don't want to be running around the house cleaning and going crazy while your husband's sitting on the couch watching football.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. But yeah, I help her clean in the run up to it. And then I stay out of the kitchen that day.
Yeah.
I get the chairs and the leaf and the table. That's my Thanksgiving job. Other than that, don't look at me like that.
Okay. All right. So Raven basically just hides from his wife and looks busy.
Sounds good. Yeah, I get that.
Producer John and producer Sean, do you guys also just hide from women on Thanksgiving? Is that your job?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. But now my job has just been to control the three-year-old. My son has turned a corner in terms of the crazy behavior. Love the little guy. Love him to death. Love his energy. He's got a lot of it, though, and it's very destructive.
Yeah.
It's extremely like, in past years, I mean, you know, Anna, I'm sure you know about this. Like, the family loves to see him. They love to hang out with him. They want to play with him, blah, blah, blah. Day of Thanksgiving, though, there's only so many things he can play the drums on before things start to break.
Well, the problem, too, with the kids on Thanksgiving is that there's so many moving parts of the cooking that, like, usually where the aunts and the moms and the grandmas all kind of step in to, like, play with the baby and take the baby, they're busy.
Yeah.
That is a good dad job, to watch the little ones. I think so. Sean, what are you doing besides, I mean, hiding from your girlfriend, I guess? I don't know.
You know, every year I make these jalapeno and bacon deviled eggs.
Oh.
And if I don't make them, it's like, don't show up, Sean. And I always have to make a lot because they go quick. Mm-hmm. I can make, you know, if I make two dozen, they're gone within 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I always, like, I have to spend, like, the entire day before making these specific deviled eggs because they're just so loved.
So here's the thing, Sean. Monday morning,
why haven't you made us any? Or am I bringing you some?
Made me some, don't show up.
Yesterday, I was going in the grocery store and I saw the deviled eggs and there was like a kit on how to make them. I don't know. And I was like, ew, like, who actually eats these deviled eggs?
Are you crazy?
What?
Seriously, are you crazy?
I've never had a deviled
egg
in my life.
Gone.
What?
What?
Never. Never in my life have I had a deviled egg.
I'm making them. That's it. I'm making them now.
You have to make some without jalapenos. I can't take the heat.
Okay.
No, yeah, I want mine with jalapenos.
I absolutely want mine with jalapenos. What are you talking about? You can't take the heat.
Hey, how about mind your business on my esophagus?
Yeah. That's so weird that everybody here has had a deviled egg, and I've never even considered having one in my life.
Delicious.
You're eating it Monday.
All right. Hot takes. Unpopular opinions, that's what they are. Everyone has them, but you're kind of trained to keep them to yourself because you don't want people to get all fired up.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right. I mean, especially when you're dealing with other people in your family, too. You want to keep it calm, even keel.
Hot.
Not right now. We're going to do our unpopular opinions, our hot takes. We're going to take it off right now, and I'm going to start because this has been bothering me for a long time. I don't know why I always have to pretend like I can't say it out loud. I can. Pumpkin pie sucks.
Oh, come on.
That's hot.
Right. It is hot. You want to know why it's hot, Paris Hilton? Because it's true. People don't actually like pumpkin pie. They eat it because they're obligated to do it. If I just took a pumpkin that I had carved for Halloween, scraped the inside, and fed it to you with a spoon, would you enjoy it? No. Now we put a little nutmeg in it, we put it in a crust, and we're going to pretend like it's delicious with some Cool Whip. It's not.
You forgot one detail. Sugar.
Oh, hot.
I mean, sometimes something sugar can't even fix, and that's pumpkin pie.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Producer John, here's your chance. Get it off your chest.
Okay, Thanksgiving should be a monthly event. I don't care how much effort and stuff like that it takes. We should do this every single month.
I like that.
I mean, come on. What are we doing this once a year for? We can't have a feast once a month? That's too much to ask?
You're wrong. It loses its luster. Mm. If we had it every single month, then all of a sudden you wouldn't care about it anymore.
Oh, well, let me give you a couple more facts here. How about 2 days off every month and that meal every month?
Who's cooking this meal for you?
Football on a Thursday all day long.
Yeah. Hold on.
Every month, and a big sale on that Friday.
Let me just ask you guys a quick question. Do either of you do all the cooking that day?
But that's what I'm saying. Think about the stress. Think about how much stress everyone's under. If you got another shot at it next month, nobody cares. Also, by the way, there was a pumpkin pie in this office. I ate all of that pumpkin pie. And it's delicious and you're crazy.
Producer Sean. Producer Sean, give me your hot take.
All right. Canned cranberry sauce is amazing.
Hot.
Stop acting like it's not good. Canned cranberry sauce is great. If you're telling me it's bad or you hate cranberry sauce, you're crazy. I could just open that can up and spoon feed it into my mouth. I love canned cranberry sauce.
No, but then you turn it upside down and it makes that really satisfying. Like, you know what I mean?
That's hot.
True story, I've never once had cranberry sauce. Like the one that came out of the can. I look at it every year. I look at it and I say, wow, look, it looks just like the can. But I never once put it on my plate.
Like it does. Can. It looks just like the inside of the can.
The canned stuff and the homemade stuff, two completely different animals.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Raven, your hot take.
You know what? There's no need to bring up the extra chairs or the leaf in the table or anything like that. It's amazing. If you give people food, they'll find a place to sit and eat or stand and eat. They'll do it on their own.
Oh, hot.
I mean, who cares about where everybody, you know, gathers or whatever? Just, you know, leave them to fend for themselves. That's what I say.
Let me guess. Your job is to bring up the chairs from the basement and the tables and the leaves, and you're just looking for a reason to get out of it this year.
So?
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's the Thanksgiving Eve edition of All I Need to Know About You. What's the thing that's driving you crazy right now heading into the holiday? You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
If you think it's totally cool to invite 30 to 40 of your family members over to your house and then give them absolutely zero instruction as to where to park if you've got a difficult street to park on, that's all I need to know about you.
It's tough. Right.
I have a neighbor that seriously, they already have 8 cars out front of their house. But when they throw a party, it's like cars are on people's lawns. They don't even know these other people.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, and I always wonder if you live on like a main street.
Yeah.
How exactly are you supposed to get everybody into your home?
Well, the good news is you can invite everybody and half of them will say no just because they don't want to deal with it.
Right. You got to put them in a commuter lot and then get a bus and bring them over. 1-800-330-9999. Frank, that's all I need to know about you.
If you have reindeer antlers on your car, that's all I need to know about you.
Already? Now that's too far in advance.
No, I like it. As soon as the turkey's coming out, this week I'm really feeling it. The Christmas music is on. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, but the reindeer antlers on the car, that's a big step in the, you know, in the wrong direction.
That's it. I like it.
Mike, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you spend all day bragging about how you did the turkey trot, you know, the 5K on Thanksgiving Day, that's all I need to know about you.
Paul, my husband, he's looking for one. He's like, I can't believe I can't find a turkey trot. Like, what are you talking about? Because he's been running on the Peloton. All of a sudden, he thinks he's going to be a racer on Thanksgiving morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I'll hear about it all day. I'll hear about it all day if he finds one. I'm purposely sabotaging.
Is it possible that you know one person that's everything wrong with all of humanity, right? Like, yeah. Over and over and over again, I just keep hearing about my grandfather-in-law on these things.
Yeah.
As a runner, when I ran this, it was -5 that day. The story's always got to be bigger and larger.
I ran a turkey trot for breakfast. Really? Yeah, I had an Eggo waffle.
Right. I slept in. It was fantastic. Right. I got the chairs out of the basement.
Diana, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, so if you take the family Thanksgiving football game too seriously, that's all I need to know about you.
How many bones must be broken? How many ankles twisted? How many torn ACLs, really? I mean, some of these games get crazy. I've seen games where people broke collarbone. And if you got to go to the hospital on Thanksgiving, that's a bad move.
Because your uncle clotheslined you when you were playing football in the backyard.
Yep.
Yeah. We used to do it when we were little. We don't do it anymore. Thank goodness for that.
Right, because you woke up.
Goosebaba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday is all about small things you can do that make a big difference in your life. And Oprah once gave her secret to becoming a billionaire, and it goes hand in hand with Thanksgiving.
16 years ago, I started a gratitude journal, and I will have to say it was the single most important thing I believe I've ever done. So every day, for years now, I've written down 5 things to be grateful for. You have to physically write them down because there's power in the words.
Gratitude journal.
Oh, man, I thought it was her vision board. I mean, I had already been doing that mentally for a long time here, Oprah. I guess I got my singles crossed.
Yeah, gratitude journal, how does it work?
What happens is if you go through the day thinking about the five things that you're going to do in the evening, you are more alive and receptive to the goodness that comes in your life.
So you spend the entire day really observing your life, and you have to mentally make a note of five different things that make you happy.
Okay.
And then at night, when you get home next to your bedside, there's that gratitude journal and you write it down.
What I promise you is that the spiritual dimension of your life begins to change. It opens up. It expands.
That's it. That's what you got to do to be a billionaire right there.
Yeah, everything was making sense right until she was like, your state dimension of the realm of
then,
the...
And then you open up your karma and the chakras and the snakes in your belly. Okay.
All right.
Whatever, Oprah. As long as it's going to make me a billionaire, I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right. So Raven and I spent all day yesterday doing this. We observed things throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then last night, we wrote five things to start our gratitude journal.
Who's going first?
You go first, Raven.
Okay. All right. I'm glad that my dog, and I'm grateful my dog has no more legs to have surgery on because it cost a gazillion, bazillion dollars. But all his legs work great now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
I'm also glad that AMC, for some reason, thinks it's the 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend because they've been playing Jaws like every other day again.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
So you just watch Jaws on repeat.
That and Christmas Vacation. I just kind of go back and forth right now. It's been great.
That's great.
I am glad and thankful that we have reached the time of year where calories don't count.
Raven.
So if I get caught shoving a cookie into my mouth in the other room in the kitchen, I just, I just go, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I kind of spit it out while I say it.
I'm not allowed to, like, say that some of your things don't count, but you do that year round. So I'm not sure why this time of year is different.
This time of year is the time where people can't really judge me about it.
Okay.
Right?
What else?
I'm also glad and thankful that it's the time of year no one pays attention to finances. Why am I simultaneously looking at a vacation, patio furniture, fireworks for the 4th of July, the e-gift card where they give you an extra $300 if I buy it this week?
Weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's that time of year, though. And I may or may not be glad that there's a real sequel now to A Christmas Story. I'm not sure I'm brave enough yet to watch it, because if they ruin it for me, I'm going to be upset.
All right, my gratitude journal is a little bit more simple.
Okay.
I love that my bed is really cozy, and I love that I crawl into it at night, that it's my safe space.
Okay.
I bought a new pair of black sweatpants from Gap, and they're going to be the sweatpants that every day when I get home from work I put on for the entire holiday season because they're super warm.
It is a good feeling when you find those sweatpants.
Number three is coffee is magic. Coffee's magic.
Yeah, okay.
We take coffee for granted.
So you're just thankful for coffee.
I'm having it right now. Cheers. Cheers to you. Cheers, coffee.
Uh-huh.
Four, my mom made pumpkin bread, and it's yummy. And I like pumpkin bread.
Thanks, Mom.
And number five.
Appreciate you.
I'm glad that cheesy Christmas movies are back because they make me happy and they make me escape real life. And I just want to get caught up in them over and over every night.
Maybe you should watch the sequel and tell me whether or not it's any good before I put my eyes on it.
All right, I will.
Okay.
Thanksgiving travel for this year is projected to be the third busiest for travel since the year 2000. And this has been all over the news this week.
Whether you're hitting an odd or even-numbered highway, north, south, east, west, or a highway in the sky, expect lots of company this week, 55 million of us. The good news, gas prices have dropped 17 cents over the past month.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be hitting the road, that is for sure.
I mean, that's great news, 17 cents in the last month.
I mean, whatever, I'll take it. 55 million people expected to travel at least 50 miles or more this weekend.
Okay.
You know, and you see weird things when you're on road trips. Yesterday, I saw somebody that must have been like passing through because they had out-of-state plates.
Yeah,
you couldn't even see in their back windows or their like the back passenger windows and the back windshield wiper. Like you couldn't see. I go, how do you drive for an extended period without having any idea what's coming out of your windows? And is there somebody in that back seat?
There's a very simple answer. How do you drive? Not well.
Yeah.
Not well when you're doing that.
You see strange things happen when you're on road trips.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I've been on road trips all over the place. I've seen breakdowns. I've seen the world's biggest ball of twine. I've seen a mud hut. I've seen the asteroid location. I mean, I've seen all sorts of cool stuff. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I think I saw a shooting star.
1-800-330-9999. Nina, what did you see when you were road tripping?
Okay, so I was driving through the desert in a van with a bunch of girls. Of course, you're in the desert. There's no rest stops for hours, and everybody's got to pee. So we pull over on the side of the road, literally in the desert, and all of us are like going behind cactuses, like pulling down our pants, having to squat behind a cactus.
You gotta be careful out there in the desert. Something would jump up and bite you.
I mean, I'm about to say, I'd be afraid of the snakes and who knows what else. Mm. Scorpions and all that.
One of the coolest trips I ever took driving through the desert, it was so unbelievably foggy. It never rains, right? So if there's any type of moisture or whatever in the air, there can be a lot of fog at night. You just don't think of it that way. And I remember I pulled into a place and fell asleep, had no idea where I was. I woke up the next morning and I was in the middle of the desert and there was nothing anywhere for miles. Awesome sunrise.
But I would think like you're going to die out there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't squat too close to the ground if I had to use the bathroom.
It's easier for a guy than it is for a girl. I don't think I need to tell you that.
Jim, what happened on your road trip?
Okay, so I'm going to the lake and I'm towing my buddy's rowboat. And I don't know what happened. This thing just comes unhooked. Like, we're rolling 70 miles an hour down the road, and this thing just goes all over the place. And we got other cars swerving out of the way. I mean, thank God it didn't hit anyone, but, oh, man, I eventually found it, like, 70 yards down the road. It was nuts. Also, I think we ran over a squirrel.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
Sad.
It's terrible. Like, it's awful.
Sad story. It's terrible for the squirrel. Bad for the boat also.
And the person that was driving behind you that had to swerve out of the way when there was a boat coming at him.
I mean, I never trust the trailer that I see hooked up to, like, some random pickup or SUV anyways. That person doesn't know what they're doing.
You know what flew back at me one time? I was driving on a highway and a mattress. You know how they put the mattresses down?
Sure.
The mattress came flying, and I had never been so terrified. And I had Hayden in the car with me, my older daughter. And she was like, Ma! And I was like, hold on! You know? And the thing went over our car.
Yeah.
It, like, shot up and, like, flew over our car. It never actually hit us. It hit the car behind, and they just kept going.
Wow.
Then it went, like, on the median. That was it. Would you rather have a rowboat hit you, a bike, or a mattress? Those are your choices.
I'm not trying to see any of them.
Yeah. Oh, it is a busy weekend for travel. 55 million people expected to travel at least 50 miles or more this weekend. And you see some crazy stuff when you're on road trips.
No question about it. I mean, it's the places of America that you can't see any other way. From a plane, from a train, it's not the same. There's weird stuff out there. And then, of course, there's everybody else that's on the road. And they're the weirdest of them all.
1-800-330-9999. Teresa, what did you see while you were road tripping?
Oh, well, I was driving and, like, thank God nothing, like, really crazy happened from it. But a semi-truck just in front of me on the left totally lost control, started swerving, and, like, went straight into the median. Like, it honestly is a miracle. Like, nobody was hurt, but it was terrifying. And now whenever there's semi-trucks around, I just go as many lanes away from them as possible.
That
it was
terrifying.
Awful.
When I see one swerve a little bit or a couple times or whatever, I say to myself, what are you doing? But I know what they're doing. I mean, they're doing exactly what everybody else is doing. They're texting or looking at their phone. And the fact that somebody is in control of that thing up that high with that horsepower, with that weight, you're right. Yeah. It's terrifying.
It's so scary. Like, it's just such a big beast. Like, anytime too, I see them swerving and I think, like, oh, maybe they're tired or, like, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I just get so nervous now while driving after seeing that. I'm like, nope, not today.
Yeah. Whenever I have to pass the tractor trailers on the highway, I do the same thing. It's like, you know how sometimes it narrows? So I'm like, I white knuckle it, straight ahead, don't look anywhere, floor it. That's what I do every single time.
I've always done that. Even I remember when I was really young, like I must have been like 16 or 17, and I was driving, and I actually got pulled over, and I told the cop, I was like, I was passing that truck. It was really scaring me, and they gave me a warning, but I was still like, the fact that I'm the one that got in trouble for this is just crazy to me.
I would have to guess that 40% of America is doing that every day.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's just a rookie thing. I think it's they're doing that every day all the time.
Angelica, what happened on your road trip?
So we were driving cross country. We parked in a field to spend the night. So we were at an Airbnb, and there was a field that they told us to park in. And then the next morning, the grass was too wet, and we got the U-Haul stuck in the field.
Oh, boy. What happened? Who do you call when that happens?
We had to call a tow truck at 7 a.m., and he was very displeased.
Yeah, I mean, he's displeased. The guy's making $200 once he hooks up for the first place. I mean, do your job. I got no tolerance for people that are displeased to be doing their job, the job that they are employed to do and that they showed up for work that day. Moving trucks are tricky because you got all sorts of average people driving these vehicles that are a much larger size than they're used to. I never hook anything up with a trailer to my vehicle and drive backwards or turn around. I just go down cul-de-sacs, man.
Yeah, how do you? I can't even imagine where to start to have to put a U-Haul in reverse.
I will run things over. I had the largest truck that they will rent a regular person. It's like 36 or 40 foot. I had a box truck that size when I was moving one time. I put a four-wheel trailer on the back. So they picked up my entire car, was off the ground on the back of the trailer. I was as long, if not longer, than plenty of 18-wheelers. Do you know that I did not turn around from here to California?
Oh, I believe that.
I went forward the whole way.
And there's no other way to go.
That was it. There was no other way for me to survive.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Anna and Raven's Roadshow. All this month, we collected your items that you have around your house at annaandraven.com. And now, Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions is here to give his opinion on what they are worth. You can find him online at nesteggauctions.com. What do we have up first, Ryan, today?
Kathy sent in photos of a really beautiful painting. It's a landscape. It's a snow scene. It looks like New England. And it's by an artist named Cecil Chichester. He's a well-known artist. He's well-collected and well-listed. Did a lot of scenes of New York, some Vermont. Think that classic scene of a stream coming through the woods with creamy, fluffy snow all around it.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Also, interestingly enough, did illustrations for Pierce Arrow Roadsters. You know, those long hood cars that you imagine a gangster driving in the 1930s.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's auction records all over the place for this artist. This is a big painting. She said 3x5. So, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that's large.
His works have achieved as high as $3,000. This one, based on size and scene and everything else, probably about $1,500 to $2,000.
All right, that's great. I got to be honest with you, Ryan. I got so many submissions, and I kind of just picked ones that had the most information. So many people send paintings, and I feel like because they're the easiest, you find them everywhere, you see them everywhere, and I think most people like me are untrained, so you don't know what's worth a lot of money versus not worth a lot of money. So if you are looking to get a piece of art, a painting, or you want to pick something up, what should be the things that you're looking for?
If you're looking to buy it at a store, make sure you like it,
mm-hmm.
because if you find out it's not worth anything, you still like it.
Right. And stores, they're not really in the business of, you know, just handing out free artwork. They want to make some money.
Now, you can find a treasure at a thrift shop or a flea market. And especially if you're buying a painting, make sure it's actually a painting, like oil paint that has been applied to a canvas. Flip it over and see if it's old. If a painting is old, it's going to be darkened on the back. It's going to have evidence of age. People can send me photos, too. I'm happy to take a look. One of the submissions that came in had this fantastic story about how the paintings were hidden in a basement in World War II, and their grandparents told them that they were worth $20,000 to $40,000. And one of the paintings has potential, but I couldn't quite make out the signature. I really couldn't get into it. And then one of them was a straight-up Italian touristy street painting
right.
from nice. Like 1963. So stories get sort of confused, and you might need some help or find a professional to help you authenticate and figure out what it is.
Okay.
I've got a couple paintings from the island. Some of them, they don't even have leaves on the palm trees. Mm-hmm. Another one a dude made with spray paint and a license plate.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah, probably not worth a whole lot.
No. I have the beholder.
And what else do we have today?
Next item is a bronze, an Art Nouveau bronze of a woman standing with a beautiful draped dress. And it's signed Lindbergh for Max Lindbergh, who is a German sculptor. Didn't live very long, 1873 to 1910.
Wow.
Not super famous, right? But a good artist, a skilled artist, just never got to important status. They did note something super important, and this is what a lot of people fail to take into consideration, is the condition of an object really affects its value. She's had both of her arms broken off and slapped back on.
Mm.
To a collector, that's probably not going to be an item they want to purchase. It's not going to be something that will add to the value. If she was in perfect condition, she'd probably be between $200 and $600. But like she sits, would go to a beginner or a decorator for under $100.
Okay. It's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. He's our expert appraiser. You can find him online at nesteggauctions.com. What items are we looking at now?
Sewing machines.
Mm-hmm.
Sewing machines are great because they're a useful object. You can use them. They're great because you can collect them. There's powered sewing machines, you know, electric, foot power. There's commercial sewing machines, residential sewing machines. Truthfully, there's a lot of them out there.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners sent in photographs of three and said that they were used to make leather items. So these are heavy-duty commercial sewing machines with a lot of power to punch through leather.
Okay.
They get set into a table, and the person who runs the machine at that table is constantly using them. This is 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, and they wear out, and they get used up. So they pick it up out of the table, they put a new one in, they go and rebuild the other one, and they come back.
All right.
These three look like they got taken out of the table and set on the garage floor for a little while.
Okay.
And when I say a little while, I'm thinking 50, 60 years.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And they're looking a little rusty.
I mean, I've heard over and over and over again that singers are worth the fortune. Singers are worth the fortune.
The little singers that go in the box, and the name totally escapes me right now, are because the quilters use them. In fact, the market for those little portable singer sewing machines skyrocketed with the quilting clubs, with people who are in sewing circles. It got so crazy that dealers were taking an old machine, stripping the paint off of it, taking it down to an auto body shop and painting them hot pink, purple, putting polka dots on them. And you're taking now a $225 machine and putting $1,000 worth of customization on it just so someone can flex on everybody in their sewing circle.
That's ridiculous.
People got fired up about it. It was Beatle times for sewing machines.
Yeah. But this one, what do you think is worth? Probably not a whole lot, I'm going to guess.
You got three big, heavy steel sewing machines in questionable condition. What I would suggest that they do is get a stout rope, tie it, and use it as a boat anchor.
Oh, gosh. It's hurtful, Ryan. It's really hurtful.
I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's got more functionality there than...
All right, what else do we have?
Someone sent in what is a Russian lacquer box. So picture a box that's made of paper mache, very fragile, very thin and light, covered in black shiny lacquer, and then has a hand-painted scene, in this case, a mythical scene with someone riding a sleigh and horses and a storm brewing in the background.
It's like Putin sitting on one of their tanks.
These boxes started actually in the 20th century. They're not as old as people think, and made in little villages like Fedoskino and Palek. I don't know if I pronounced those right, but...
That's what they are.
Guessing not.
Yeah. The early ones, so think 1910s, 19-teens, can bring thousands of dollars. They take weeks and weeks, sometimes months to make, and they're beautiful objects of art. The ones that you see brought home by tourists or sold on the street down in New York City, those ones are usually in that $25 to $50 range, but this one's big. This one could probably fit a couple of magazines inside it.
Okay.
And I would put it in today's market around $200 or $300.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to learn more about Ryan and have items that you want him to look at, you can submit it at nesteggauctions.com. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
Every time you come in, we learn something.
Yep. The quest to write the perfect Thanksgiving Day song. There's just not enough Thanksgiving songs. And luckily, we have producer John, who's incredibly talented and can write songs about anything.
Ooh, I love this break. I love it when you say stuff like that.
It's
this
true.
Is a good time.
It's
this
true.
Is a good time.
You know it's true.
We don't say it all that often there, but he can turn things over very quickly, and he can make it rhyme and fit into a different mode. This has been a cool experiment.
Every week leading up to Thanksgiving for the last 3 weeks, we have been having John write a different song for Thanksgiving. Now, we made it interesting. We put a bunch of genres in a hat and a bunch of different topics in a hat, and then we would pick one each week.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started first when the genre selected was bluegrass, and the song was about naps, and this is what he came up with.
I ate all of the turkey, mashed potatoes, and the beans. I piled my plate so high, more food than you ever seen. I ate all of that turkey, now my stomach is in pain. I'm about to pass out in a coma induced by tryptophan. I'll take a nap, I'll take a nap. I drank and stuffed my face, now that's a wrap. And when I finally wake up in the middle of the cowboy game, I'll grab another plate of food. You know I ain't ashamed.
I like that one.
It's not bad. It's toe tapping. That's what they call that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, chicken picking.
Yeah, that's what they call that.
Week two, the genre that was selected was emo, and the topic was turkey. And this is what producer John came up with I think, like 8 minutes.
Leaves are falling from the trees. Time's running out. For me, 1, 2, 3, 4, lying on the chopping block. Why can't you be vegetarians? I've heard that tofu tastes the same. I know my time has come. Does it have to be a celebration? Grandma's got a smile on her face. Will you remember me? Will you cry? Will you remember me? Or am I just a wishbone to you?
It's really, the first time I heard it, it moved so fast and the quick turnaround. Like, I honestly thought it was from the perspective of, like, your daughter's boyfriend.
Right.
Was like 14
right.
years old. Hey. But then when I figured out it was the turkey, my heart breaks for the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you got drunk at a house party in 2005, you got, you know, you started singing like that. That's the way you sounded.
That's
you
what
sang.
Happened.
Yep.
And if you missed it last week, the genre that was selected was, this is my favorite, was heavy metal. And it was a heavy metal song. And the topic selected to go along with it was annoying family members.
Perfect.
And this is what it sounded like.
Family members, family members, family members, they're all annoying me. Family members, family members, family members. Gathered round the table, discussing what is new. Aunt Karen's going back to school. My cousin's engaged now, too. My brother got promoted, but the one thing they demand. My whole family wants to know, hey, John, are you still in that band? Family members, family members, family members, they're all annoying me.
I mean, it was something.
You were dying while I was playing that. I felt like I've been pretty accurate on most of these songs, but I looked over at the beginning of that song, I saw you cracking up, and I almost lost it.
All right, so we have the last one, picking out of the hat. All right, the genre is going to be country.
Okay.
Country,
okay.
That's
all right.
Good.
All right.
And the topic is going to be... football.
Oh, that writes itself. Come on.
Can you make me cry during that song?
I guess let's do this. You've got like 8 minutes. Go write this song. Come back on the air. Let's go.
Raven's going to weep.
You nervous, John? You look a little nervous. This is the first time producer John looks nervous before he has to perform on the air.
This was more of a scramble than it has been in weeks past. We're going to find out.
So we've been on a quest to find the perfect Thanksgiving Day song. I say find. What I mean is producer John is going to write it.
Create. It's creation.
Okay. And the last 3 weeks, every week he's been given a different task. And we pull out of a hat a different genre of music and then a different topic. So week one, he wrote a song about naps, and it was to the genre of bluegrass. Mm. 2 weeks ago, it was a turkey song, but it was done to the genre of emo. It was very emotional. Remember, Raven?
I'm trying to forget.
Yeah. And then last week, which was my personal favorite, was a heavy metal song about annoying family members. And if you missed any of it, you could always catch up on the podcast page at annaandraven.com. Check them out for yourself. But the final week, the big last time that you're going to be able to write a song about Thanksgiving.
This year, anyways.
Yeah. Yep. You have to write a country song about football.
See, so this is what actually makes it a little bit more difficult, because when you've got a song about turkeys and it's emo, those are two that's so weird and so out there. That, you know, I mean, anything I come up with is going to be wacky and hysterical. This, everybody, there's so many country songs about football.
Well, I'll tell you right now, here's the thing. You best not screw it up.
Right.
Because I love football, and I love my football songs. So if you screw it up, we're going to have a serious problem. I've been watching a lot of Yellowstone,
okay.
And I will go right into my Montana accent, and we will have a problem.
This is going to be a lot of fun. All right, so this is sung from the perspective of the guy who loves to watch football on Thanksgiving, but sometimes gets a little bit too into it. Let's go. Sunday nights are special and Monday nights are cool, but watching football on Thanksgiving is my favorite thing to do. Dallas and Detroit are there, they're two of my best friends. Stuff my face with mashed potatoes, drinking beers that have no end. But when Dallas loses, I know just what I'll do. I'll throw a tantrum and hit the TV with my shoe. My family will all be aghast. They'll say, Uncle Dave, you've gone too far at last. Well, I know that may be true. Thanksgiving football, still my favorite thing to do.
I couldn't look you in the eye because I was cracking up. I've never. But what?
Dallas is going to win.
John got this whole look on his face. He like transformed into this faraway galaxy, and I couldn't look you in the face.
I was trying to find the key. I couldn't find the key. That's why the intro was so long.
The emotion was there.
All right. If you want to catch up with any of producer John's Thanksgiving songs, you can just head to our podcast page at annaonraven.com.
Didn't feel like I found that key either.
Nope.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Liam and Hazel. Hazel, what's going on?
Well, I'm divorced, and Liam and I have been dating for 2 years now, and he has some problems with the situation when he comes and spends the night.
What's the problem?
Well, my daughter, she's very young, and she has a lot of anxiety. And she is still sleeping in the bed with us. She does sleep on the other side of me. She's not, like, in between us.
And, Liam, you have a problem with that.
Yeah, I have a very big problem. I mean, it's weird. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. She's 4 years old. I think she's, at least when I stay over, you know, I think she can sleep in her own bed.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's tough when your kid's got anxiety, right? I mean, you want to do everything that you can do to obviously make them feel better. On the other hand, I'm not a doctor because, you know, at some point, are you enabling that? Are you allowing them to never move forward from that type of behavior, just cultivating it, really?
I just have to say that it's really not as weird as it sounds. I just think that she should make that decision on her own.
You know, Dakota's 4 now, my little one, and we've been battling this forever. So I kind of get where you're coming from. But Liam, if he feels uncomfortable, she's still in bed with you. You don't live together, right? So it's just occasionally when you're over?
Right.
I mean, you go out on a Friday or Saturday night. You go back to her apartment. And then at some point in the night, your daughter climbs into bed. Her daughter.
Well, she's already there, probably.
I mean, I understand why it would be uncomfortable for him. 100%. You know, you're going over there and you think that you're going to spend some alone time or whatever. Obviously, Hazel, you want to be there for your daughter. You don't want to be a jerk, Liam, while you're there. But, you know, at some point, yeah, it gets a little bit awkward. Sure. And, I mean, not for nothing, but her father. How would he feel about it?
Well, you know what? Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Maybe you agree with Liam that this needs to stop. And Hazel, you're going to have to put an end to it and find a way to get your daughter out of your bed, especially when Liam is there. But they may see your side, too, where you know what's best for your child and you're going to pick your daughter over anybody. So, Liam, if you're uncomfortable sleeping over, then don't sleep over.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Talk about awkward, right? Real awkward. Liam and Hazel have been dating for a couple of years now. Hazel has a 4-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. And there's an issue because the 4-year-old, still sleeps with mom, Hazel, in bed.
Yeah, well, the problem is when Liam comes to sleep over at that time, and, you know, they still let the 4-year-old come sleep in the bed. Liam is completely uncomfortable with this, just as, you know, I mean, obviously it's just not natural. You need to make her sleep in her bed at this point, and it's awkward for me. But Hazel thinks, it's no big deal. At some point, she's going to grow out of it. I mean, this is where she's comfortable. This is the choice that I've made.
And she does say she sleeps in the middle. Mom sleeps in the middle. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
This is Roxanne. That's a big no-no. He's not her dad. I'm on the guy's side. He's not her dad, and she should not have them in the bed together.
Yeah, I think when it's sleepover time, like, a decision's already made right at that point. Like, I mean, whether by him or by mom, somebody has to make that decision and just stick with it. Yeah.
I know. You know, even with the purest intentions, it's weird.
It's unsettling.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah,
uncomfortable.
No question about it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. There's no question that it's awkward. And Liam even says it's awkward for him and he doesn't want to do it, which is why he wants his girlfriend Hazel to have her 4-year-old daughter sleep in her own bed when he sleeps over. But Hazel argues that she's going through a lot of stuff. She likes to sleep with mommy. It's no big deal. She's in the middle. Just suck it up.
I mean, I disagree. This is the type of stuff that ends relationships, to tell you the truth. I mean, you're coming over to visit. It's not easy to always make the time for each other, right? And of course, you've got to make time for the kids and make, you know, preparations for the kids that are in the family and in the picture as well. However, you go out on a Friday, a Saturday, whatever, you come back to the apartment together. And either the 4-year-old's already in the bed or is going to climb in the bed in moments. I mean, that affects everything that you are doing, spending time together alone as a couple.
But the question is Liam even have a say in this? Isn't this Hazel's call on what she thinks is right? What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Well, I don't think I'm on anybody's side. I'll start off by saying my kids are 5 and 3 and they sleep in bed, so I sleep on the couch. And I'm their biological father. So this guy shouldn't even put himself in a position to sleep in a bed with a 4-year-old daughter. I don't care what the situation is. It's weird and creepy. So he's got to take it on himself to not sleep in the bed. If there's a 4-year-old girl in the bed, that's just weird, man. And if I was that little girl's father, I would be pissed. Really pissed.
Hey, Joanne, whose side are you on?
I'm on the boyfriend's side. This is hella inappropriate. Like, I cannot believe this mom thinks that this is okay. Very scary.
Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi. Oh, my God. The mom needs to stop letting that daughter sleep in the bed when he's around. And that's just all together.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Liam, our audience agreed with you. Hazel, you have to figure out a way to make both parties happy here, and it's going to be finding a way to get your daughter out of the bed when Liam is sleeping over.
Okay, I'll try my best.
Thank you.
Liam, I mean, if it's that weird for you, maybe if it's one of those nights, maybe you sleep on the couch, right? And I know that that's not fun. On the other hand, it also helps to drive the point home, too, right? Because then when your daughter wakes up in the morning and goes, well, why is he on the couch? Well, because he's there, right? Because he can't be in the bed because he doesn't fit or whatever. And sooner or later, maybe this behavior is going to change. I wish you guys luck. Hazel, of course, you're going to do whatever you can to make your daughter feel safe.
Thank you.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $200. Ishamar, are you ready to play today?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Ish.
Okay. So Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Let's do this. Number one, Jake Gyllenhaal said he has big shoes to fill when it comes to the Roadhouse remake. Who famously played the role of James Dalton in Roadhouse?
Patrick Swayze?
Number two, a Peter Pan remake is in the works at Disney, and Jude Law was cast to play Captain Hook. What's the name of Captain Hook's pirate ship?
I don't know.
Number three, Dolly Parton will co-host this year's Miley's New Year's Eve special on NBC with Miley Cyrus. Who co-hosted last year with Miley?
I'm not sure. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Number four, Kara is the name that was given to a 67-pound goldfish that was caught in France. In The Amazing World of Gumball, what's the name of their goldfish that grew arms and legs?
Butterballs?
Yeah.
No.
No. And number five, Michael J. Fox was given an honorary Oscar award for his Parkinson's disease advocacy and research. In Back to the Future, what type of car was turned into a time machine?
DeLorean.
All right, let me bring Raven back in, Ishamar.
All right.
Let's see. All right, 2 out of 5 for Ishamar.
Well, not great there. Let's see how I do. $200 on the line.
Number one, Jake Gyllenhaal said he has big shoes to fill when it comes to the Roadhouse remake. Who famously played the role of James Dalton in Roadhouse?
Come on, Patrick Swayze rips a dude's throat out.
Number two, a Peter Pan remake is in the works at Disney, and Jude Law was cast to play Captain Hook.
Okay.
What's the name of Captain Hook's pirate ship?
The Jolly Roger.
That's right. Number three, Dolly Parton will co-host this year's Miley's New Year's Eve special on NBC with Miley Cyrus. Who co-hosted last year with Miley?
The one and the only, Pete Davidson.
Right. Number four, Carrot is the name that was given to a 67-pound goldfish that was caught in France. In The Amazing World of Gumball, what's the name of their goldfish that grew arms and legs?
Oh, I've never seen it, but I should know this. I don't know.
It's Darwin.
Darwin, that's...
And number five, Michael J. Fox was given an honorary Oscar award for his Parkinson's disease advocacy and research. In Back to the Future, what type of car was turned into a time machine?
Easy, the DeLorean.
That's right. I'm sorry, Ishamar. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Ishamar, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bud. $300 come Monday.